From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, September 9th. I'm Abby Larico. Before killing Sonya Massey in her home, former Sangamon County, Illinois Sheriff's Deputy Sean Grayson had a history of credibility issues. That includes arresting a man with no evidence while an officer in Christian County.
He just kept, you know, we know you're doing this. And it's like, well, obviously you don't, because I'm not doing that.
Despite these issues, Grayson was able to land multiple law enforcement jobs across the state. That story coming up on The Gateway. The Missouri Supreme Court will decide if voters will indeed be asked about an amendment putting abortion access in the state's constitution. This is after a Cole County judge ruled on Friday that the question should be removed from the ballot because it did not specify which state laws would be repealed if it passes. The Missouri Supreme Court will hear arguments on Tuesday, which is the deadline to take items off the November 5th ballot. Mary Catherine Martin is the attorney who argued to remove the abortion question from the ballot last week. She says she's hoping the high court sustains the Cole County judge's decision.
Specifically, I said, look, there are a lot of legal violations here, and you only have to find one. And that's what he did.
Planned Parenthood Great Plains CEO Emily Wales says if the decision is allowed to stand, it could undercut future efforts to amend Missouri's constitution.
If Missourians were able to somehow vote to change the Constitution, but they had to predict and identify every tiny conflict, it would be impossible to get this done.
Participants in the case asked for the Missouri Supreme Court to rule quickly before the Tuesday deadline. As the fourth week of classes begins in the St. Louis Public School District, nearly 1,000 additional students are riding yellow buses. Transportation officials revised their transportation system last week, shifting over a dozen routes to First Student as the company provided more buses. District leaders say these transportation changes began during the Labor Day weekend. Families received letters last week that informed them of the update. Some students are still taking taxis, vans, and metro buses to get to school. The district started the school year with alternative transportation after some vendors struggled to provide enough buses. Families are encouraged to contact the SLPS Transportation Department or their child's principal if they need help. A collection of events focused on the geospatial industry kicks off in St. Louis this week. St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmidt reports GeoFutures Week is another chance for the region to showcase its leadership in the sector.
There are two conferences this week that will bring together businesses, academics, and government officials involved in different applications of geospatial intelligence. The slate of events will focus on the development and application of geospatial models that can help with real-world challenges beyond just those in defense. Maggie Coast is the Chief Business Attraction Officer for Greater St. Louis, Inc.
There are geospatial applications within finance, within agriculture. A product moving through a manufacturing facility and being able to track where it's at any given time.
Coast says these events can help reinforce the region's position as a geospatial hub. St. Louis is also set to host the annual GeoInt Symposium next May, which it last hosted in 2023. I'm Eric Schmid, St. Louis Public Radio.
Today, the Regional Arts Commission of St. Louis awards $5 million to dozens of local arts organizations. As St. Louis Public Radio's Lauren Brennecke reports, RAC's leaders say the awards will boost tourism in St. Louis by making arts organizations more visible.
The grants follow two rounds of smaller awards to artists since RAC received the $10.6 million in federal coronavirus relief funds last year. The latest grants are the last of the funding and range from $20,000 to $600,000. Vanessa Cooksey is RAC's president and CEO. She says 21 organizations were selected for their plans to bring more visitors to St. Louis.
Arts organizations are realizing, no, we've got to be proactive. We've got to tell people what we have and invite them to come and visit. So I'm excited to see that they're putting some of these resources in marketing to residents and visitors alike.
Among the recipients are Shakespeare Festival St. Louis, National Blues Museum, and the Black Rep. I'm Lauren Brennecke, St. Louis Public Radio.
Democrat Kamala Harris and Republican Donald Trump will square off tomorrow in Philadelphia in their first presidential debate. As St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum explains, St. Louis's Washington University used to be a prime spot for presidential showdowns.
Washington University hosted presidential debates in 1992, 2000, 2004, and 2016. It didn't vie for a debate in 2020, and this election cycle, television networks are foregoing debates at universities. Former Washington University Chancellor Mark Wrighton says the debates elevated his university's prestige.
When recruited students, we often were asked, are you going to host a presidential debate when I'm there?
Washington University also hosted a vice presidential debate in 2008 between Democrat Joe Biden and Republican Sarah Palin. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
The shooting death of Sonya Massey by a Sangamon County sheriff's deputy has prompted nationwide outrage. Massey, an unarmed black woman, was shot and killed by Sean Grayson in her Central Illinois home in July after she called for help. But Massey's death wasn't Grayson's first issue as a police officer. Farrah Anderson reports that Grayson had a history of credibility issues and brought a case with no evidence against a man while working at a previous department.
Kyle Atkins saw police lights flashing behind him on the night of May 8, 2021, but he wasn't sure why. He was in Kincaid, Illinois, on his way to pick up his kids from their mother's house when then-Kincaid police officer Sean Grayson stopped him. Atkins told IPM News that Grayson said there was a warrant out for his arrest for selling methamphetamines.
He just kept, you know, we know you're doing this, and it's like, well, obviously you don't, because I'm not doing that.
Grayson's body cam is recording while he processes Atkins back at the police department. He tells them he has videos of him selling meth on two controlled buys that Grayson had set up. Throughout their interaction, Grayson tries to convince Atkins to set up controlled buys with other supposed drug dealers in the area.
Like, obviously, I got you on camera on two buys. Okay, I'm not gonna lie. That's why you're here. That's why I was able to arrest you today. Okay, so I had two informants who I busted for something. They did two buys off you. So today, I'll give you the same opportunity.
Atkins continues to deny selling meth.
I didn't sell, because I don't fucking sell this shit.
I mean, I've got you on camera.
Then let me see it. Let me see the video.
You'll see it in court. It's going to go to court.
Atkins was released later that day with a notice to appear in court. Because his car was impounded, he had to walk home.
I just couldn't understand why he was even acute, like, trying to charge me with this shit, you know?
But state police certification records show that the day after the felony charges were filed against Atkins in Christian County Circuit Court, Sean Grayson left the Kincaid Police Department. His case dragged on for 2 years, and Grayson never showed up to court like he was supposed to. Prosecutors finally dropped the case after his public defender filed this video in court. His defender also never saw any videos of the alleged controlled buys or any records of an actual warrant. But the issues of this case didn't stop Grayson from being hired at four more departments after he was terminated from Kincaid for refusing to live within the village boundaries. Police accountability and legal experts say that instances of dishonesty or questions about his credibility should have been reported to state authorities and documented for future background investigators. Few steps were taken, even when authorities were aware of his misconduct, to stop him from simply getting rehired at another department a few miles away. Lauren Jones is the criminal justice director with Impact for Equity, a public interest law firm in Chicago. She says there were many opportunities throughout Grayson's career to stop him from getting to Sangamon County and killing Massey.
It just shows several layers of failure to hold oneself accountable and the officer that is engaging in misconduct accountable.
And the case in Kincaid wasn't the end of issues with Sean Grayson's credibility. He later went to the Logan County Sheriff's Office, where he also ran into trouble. During a disciplinary interview after a traffic stop, Chief Deputy Nathan Miller can be heard on video bringing up incidents from other departments he worked in.
I also know that you've had a lot of cases presented in other jurisdictions that were never prosecuted, correct?
Yes, all my cases in Auburn were dropped after I left.
Miller goes on to say this is, quote, extremely concerning, but he declined to formally discipline him. Which brings us back to the question, why was Sean Grayson hired as a deputy in the Sangamon County Sheriff's Department in the first place? Answers may be hard to come by, but Kyle Atkins understands one of the effects of letting officers like Grayson slip through the cracks. A few weeks after Kyle's arrest, his girlfriend, Brittany Myers, was arrested in Kincaid by Chief Mathon on drug charges, too, and her charges were also later dropped. He's now left Kincaid and rarely returns to the village where his arrest led him and his girlfriend to lost jobs, loss of visitation with kids, and broken relationships with family who believed they were guilty of the crimes they were accused of.
It rubbed our knees through the dirt, but like.
Everybody believes a cop.
I'm Farrah Anderson.
This story was produced by Illinois Public Media in partnership with the nonprofit newsroom Invisible Institute and the Springfield-based weekly newspaper Illinois Times. It was also co-reported by Sam Stecklow and Dean Olson. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.